Roma probably has produced by far the majority of the community leaders in this community. And when I first started in the Federation, it was generally Roloff and Westmoreland, but the Westmoreland part dropped off. But most of the presidents and the active members, by far, are members of Rodolph Shalom. And it always bothered me why the conservatives and the Orthodox shouldn't have as much. Of course, Don Robinson is conservative with Tree of Life, and Eddie Pirillo was B'nai Israel in East Liberty. But the majority of them, if you'll check back over the years, have all come from Rodolph Shalom.
Yes.
They've been the most active volunteers in the community in most of the areas. So, you know, I don't know the reason for it, but it is true.
Every community has a different center that way. Other places...
Really?
Yeah. Let's talk about what I think was your principal participation for many years, the what might have been the first the Y and the Federation. Let's say, go to the Federation.
Well, let's talk about the JCC.
Go ahead.
The YIKC.
Okay, YIKC. Did you know Joel Rotman?
Oh, sure.
Was it Joel?
Arthur Rotman.
Arthur Rotman, yeah.
Well, Arthur's retired. I was the vice president of the JCCA, Jewish Welfare Board, nationally. I hired Arthur.
Here?
Yes. I was chairman of that committee. And they almost didn't want him because he was too intellectual. Great guy. He's done a great job. He's retiring in the fall, the end of this year, rather. And they just got someone to replace him. But I became active in the YIKC in East End. Went through a great deal. We built the building out there. A small group of us worked hard. Barbara Shore, Morris Kushner, a few others. The complexity of the community changed within 2 years in East Liberty. Just went to pot. And we saw the handwriting on the wall. We were lucky that we sold it. We got all our money back. And it went to an organization that that was the building was perfect for, and it really it's still thriving and doing a good job. Trying to think of the name of it. But it started, I think, in Polizetic. It has to do with not exactly retarded children, but special situations. Maybe the name will come to me. So, from there, having been president of that...
This was about 67.
Yes, in the middle 60s. I served on the other board because I was president of the East End board. And at that time, each org, we had Squirrel Hill, we had East End, we had those two, and we had our own boards, and then they merged. And of course, Lou Weisenstein, I believe, was the first president, and he brought them together. Of course, the Y in Oakland no longer was able to maintain itself.
That was under Arthur Rotman. That's when Rotman was here.
No, he wasn't here yet. He when we merged, he was here.
Yes.
No, as a matter of fact, there was the other fellow who was from the Y. There was both of them. He was there first.
Go ahead.
Can't think of his name. But there was a health club board, there was a Y board, there was an East End board, there was a Squirrel Hill board, and each of them acted like they were completely independent. And we had to find some way. Became president after John Wolfe. he sort of groomed me.
What year?
Westlander had been president, then John. Then they got me. I probably was the right one at that time because not having been a native Pittsburgher, I didn't have any background in this city. So I nobody thought of me as being a East Ender or a Squirrel Hiller or not here or not there. So I was completely neutral. And my job was, and we decided we were going to do it, and I told him I would only take it if we would dissolve all the boards and have one major board. This was a tough fight, but we chose a hot July night, early July.
Year.
And
which year?
Which year? Geez, now you got me. I'd have to look. I wouldn't want to verify it.
About 67. Okay, go ahead.
And I think it was after that.
After
well, maybe, that. Maybe it was in the late 60s.
Late
60s. 60s, yeah. Mm-hmm. I had Harold Bondelman to be the chairman of the meeting. Mm-hmm. And we met in the auditorium of the Belfield building. And we had about maybe 300 people, 350, between 300 and 350 people there that night. And it was a stormy meeting because you had all the old members of the Y and the Health Club, Harry Savage and that whole group, and Dave Packard, and they screamed, and I just kept telling Harold, let them scream, let them talk. When the vote finally came down, I think it was 300 and something to 9 or 10. And we carried that night. And from then on, we were able to run as a real organization, and I think then it really began to grow. It is, without a doubt, the center of the strength of this community. The Federation is something else. It's a fundraiser. It's not supposed to provide any services. It's supposed to raise the money and help where necessary in the various agencies it supports, but the center actually gives services. And has expanded and done, I think, a tremendous job. Today, close to 15,000 members. The building is full. They're going to expand it, as you know, across the street. It is probably looked upon through the rest of the country as one of the premier centers in the country. The center system has, the center agencies throughout the country have been having problems, money-wise, and also communities splitting up and leaving and moving, and they're never in the right place, and it's created different problems. We're very fortunate here. Building the building at where we built it on Forbes Street was a big fight. We had a tract, an option on a piece of land at the cemetery on Dallas and Forbes in the back, and we had a lot of land there where we could have had a lot of parking and a playground and a lot. Several large contributors said if you build it there you can forget my contribution. We had an awful fight until they, you know, we had to tear down the building that we had built there originally in Squirrel Hill.
The YIKC.
Yeah, the old YIKC building, which we built way back in, I guess, the late 50s.
Late 50s.
Right? And Gene Combs was involved in that. But that, I think, took a lot of guts to do would tear it down. It was a tough struggle for a year and a half where they had classes in the synagogues all around and the schools everywhere they can, but we managed for that period. And I think the new building, of course, you see what's happened to it. From about 8,000 members, it grew to 12 within a year, and then it's been growing ever since. The director is doing a good job. He may not be the greatest...
Schechter?
Bob Schechter. May not be the greatest people person, but he's a good administrator and runs a tight ship and does a good job.
I'm glad to hear that.
Pittsburgh... at one time raised over 85% of its money internally. It got a grant from the Henry Kaufman Foundation, which we owned a portion of the Kaufman building, which Henry Kaufman gave to the old YIKC, IKC, before it was the YIKC, the Irene Kaufman Center. We owned, I think it was 20 feet, and the Kauffman Building downtown. Mm-hmm. And recently it was sold. There were several pieces of that land. Church owned, Smithfield Street Church owned a piece, mm-hmm. and the May Company finally bought it all up, and now that's in an endowment. Mm-hmm. But we got $40,000 a year from that rental from the May Company, and we received money from the United Way. We never got anything from the Federation, and we raised all the money ourselves internally by dues and programs and things like that nature. Finally, you know, the Federation came around seeing that that it should help, but most, the average throughout the country was maybe 50%, and the other 50% came from the Federation, not the United Way, but from the Federation.
Jerry, could you pop in some dates of some of these remarks you made?
That's hard for me. I'm tough on dates, but we're talking of the 70s, late 70s and early 80s, mm-hmm. During that period. Mm-hmm. And the Federation with Jerry Soroker was very difficult. Jerry was a very difficult man, and probably a good fundraiser in his day, but never a good organizer of people in the community. Mm-hmm. And I think the Federation really never came into its own until Bill Kahn came here.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill replaced Jerry.
Jerry. Mm-hmm. But that is in itself is a great story. Bill Kahn, I happen to be very, very friendly with Bill. And mm-hmm. I see him. We're together often in Florida. We play tennis together. I knew him through the JWB mm-hmm. because he was the professional in St. Louis. And came and was on the board of the JWB, and we met and we talked and we got to like each other over the years. Because I've been on the JWB board for maybe 20 years now.
And Jewish Welfare Board.
It's now the JCCA, Jewish Community Center of America.
What years were those JWB environments?
Well, that's, I have to go back from probably 1970, and I'm still. I was vice president. I turned down the presidency. And I didn't have the time for that. Mm-hmm. But I'm still on the board as a board member. As a matter of fact, I'm going to Cleveland in a couple of weeks for some meetings we're having there. But when they were looking for a new director here, they went through a lot of Federation presidents. Mm-hmm. From Federation professionals from around the country, and there wasn't anyone. There was a real lack at that period of professionalship in these people. And I called Bill Kahn, and I knew that he was outgrowing St. Louis and the center there, and was really looking for something. And I asked him if he would consider coming to Pittsburgh, and he said he would. Now, knowing Bill, he would wear cowboy boots and an open shirt, and I knew the people on the committee who were going to be here, and I said, Bill, you have a blue suit and tie, please wear it. So he came, he was perfect, and there was a good meeting. They couldn't decide. We had a meeting with him, and then the committee met, and they were really very hesitant. You know, he never had any what would he know about fundraising? Well, I kept telling them how much money he raised the center there. He was the fundraiser for that center, and it raised over $10 million. He built a Holocaust museum there. What he did there was tremendous. He's just full of energy, a real people person, and I thought would be perfect person for Pittsburgh. I think probably because there just wasn't anybody else, they finally said, okay, we'll take a chance.
Why is Pittsburgh more desirable than St. Louis? Why would he come?
Well, he wanted to go to the Federation. He wanted a change and become start do work in the Federation, mm-hmm. and you'll see what happened, because I knew what he was going to do. He went to New York, you know, mm-hmm. as there for a few years until he retired. But he turned Pittsburgh around because he got people involved that never even would have ever thought or been thought of. He drew hundreds of people in committees and activities and things he would start, and he had people humming and happening. And of course, for the first few years, we really started to gain in our campaigns as well. They really moved. I'll never forget the end of the first campaign. He had the final finale at the Civic Center, and I guess we must have drew 500-600 people, maybe more. I don't know. There were hundreds of people there, people that never would have come to a Federation affair or been involved in a Federation affair. But that was because of Jerry Soroka, and he only used people from Westmoreland and from the Temple. Mm-hmm. If you just didn't get anywhere. Mm-hmm. If Jerry Soroka had remained president, I would have never been involved in the Federation, because I just wasn't on his list. Mm-hmm. But he had Lenny Rudolph, Jesse Cohn, he had a certain group of people that he worked with. But Bill was entirely different. He was very expansive. Our present director is entirely different than Bill. Excellent administrator. And
the director's name?
I was just trying to think of it. I'm terrible. It's okay. I'm getting old. This is what happens when you get
me
old.
Me too.
The names just slip you, and because I know him as well as I know anybody. He works with the professionals in a way that is really unique and gives them leeway and leadership, and has built a tremendous staff that do a great job. He's been through some tough times, and he's handled it well. He's been offered jobs. Was offered to Cleveland, came from Cleveland, and Cleveland offered. And Cleveland is one of the premier federations in the country. Mm-hmm. At one time, maybe 50% of all the Federation professionals came
from Cleveland,
worked their way through Cleveland. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, he's liked Pittsburgh and wants to stay here and has remained. He's being well paid, probably not as well as he might get somewhere else, but I think he's happy here and has been doing a great job. And our Federation today is involved in a lot of things that never was, because the agencies themselves couldn't afford it and didn't have the professional skills to be able to do it. So the Federation had to do things that in the old days the agencies themselves would do. And that's in planning and in instituting different things and helping them over some rough spots. The Jewish Family and Children's Services had some difficult times, and if it weren't for the Federation, I don't know, whether they'd still be in existence. And the home would have surely gone down the drain without the Federation. And the Federation giving them $500,000 approximately a year, too, that helped as well.
Yeah, apart from the money, don't you think the Federation's task really should be planning and helping certain facilitate functions that they can't easily acquire?
It's a difficult thing, because you have professionals who are head of these agencies who think that they should run them and it's their job.
That's right.
And the problem is how you work together between the Federation and these agencies, keeping their uniqueness and their independence, and at the same time accepting the help of the Federation. And the professional that we have now is very good at that and has mm-hmm. done a good job. Mm-hmm. And I think he deserves credit. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if an agency comes crawling to you on their knees mm-hmm. because they know that they're going out of existence if they don't get the help from the Federation, as against where they're going in the community, and is that the right place to be going, and shouldn't we be doing this or looking at it from this point of view, and maybe services that you've been giving for 50 years are no longer relevant in today's world,
that's
and let's
right.
take a good look at them.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do inwardly, but it takes someone from the outside who looks at it, and that's really should be the job of the Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they are doing that more so now.
Yes. That reminds me, want to say something about a Federation-Synagogue relations.
Well, let me just see something. There have been problems with synagogues and the Federation, because synagogues, maybe not right now, but up to about 2-3 years ago, all had declining membership, maybe except one or two of them. All had various problems and thought that the Federation was taking over jobs that synagogues should be doing. A lot had to do with the Hebrew Institute and their Hebrew school, and that the Federation shouldn't be supporting an institution that let people not join synagogues and they could still get their kids bar mitzvahed. And partially they were right. Except that they were unwilling to realize that these people, then their kids wouldn't have been bar mitzvahed because they weren't going to join synagogues.
That's right.
And so it was a real dilemma. And, you know, I think that the community did what it had to do over the years, but it created problems and it caused problems between synagogues and the Federation. I think it was Bill Kahn that started the first Synagogue Federation Committee, and those meetings in the early days were most difficult because the synagogues, it had to do with money, and it had to do with direction, and it had to do with very basic feelings. Those that were very close to synagogues and very active in the conservative and the orthodox, more so than the reform seemed to be able to understand that separate religion from the community. Most of the conservative and the orthodox felt very strongly that the center of Judaism was the synagogue and not the community activities, Jewish Family and Children's Service and the YIKC. These really took away from the strength of the synagogues, because a lot of the synagogues had programs, had schools, you know, for nursery schools, because they try to do things. B'nai Israel started a almost in direct competition to the to our East End Center, JC's, to the YIKC, and they would get their kids, and they had basketball, you know, and they did everything they could. At one time, Rhoda Sholem had a swimming pool and a basketball court. I don't know if you were aware of that, and had many activities of that nature. When the centers asked them to close it down, they saw that it was right, and they closed it down and said, okay, we'll shut them down, and that will be yours. The other synagogues felt that they would lose members, that it hurt them, and this was a difficult thing to get over. Today, I think that that's all gone, and I think the synagogues understand. We give money to their schools. You know, not only do the scholarship program, in the Federation you have affiliated agencies and you have associated agencies. The agencies that get direct support, like the JCC, Jewish Family and Children's Service, and the Home, we have control over their budgets. We can go in and sit down and say, hey, you know, why are, and we do that. It's not as bad as it may sound, but we try to be helpful. Those other agencies like Yeshiva and Hillel, we worked out a system of scholarships that they get money, so much money per student, and we have no control over their budgets whatsoever. And these are scholarship monies, but this is also goes to synagogue schools, get money from the Federation for different programs that they can show and do for it. So that has helped somewhat. And
this started around 1985.
Yes. Well, no, it started before, in the early 80s. Yeah, late 70s.
Now, that's been going on for some time. And that is a bone of contention with some people. I don't know, probably not with much of the, many of the younger ones, but some of the ones in right below my group never were really comfortable with Federation support of educational institutions.
It supported Aaron Kessler and Saul
Abramson. School for Advanced Jewish Studies, right. That's a whole other story. You know, he came here as a consultant to discuss it and then started this and took the job. But that was sort of a high school, because most of the synagogues didn't have high schools. And this, there could be good reasons for that, and I think it serves a purpose in the community. The Hebrew Institute, as I told you before, was always a big question mark and a sore point between the synagogues and the community.
It had a high school.
It had a high school as well, but it gave it up. We forced them to give it up.
You forced them to give it up to Kessler.
Right. But now it's all together in one again, and a lot of the synagogues use the, what would have been the Hebrew Institute.
JEI.
Now it's the JEI. Instead of, they had so few students, they gave them up, you know, for their own bar mitzvahs, and they all go together and you do it there, which is, I think, an intelligent thing to do. If you do it together and you understand what you're doing, it's, you know, it is difficult to know whether, how much of the religious content is necessary to make sure that there will always be, that Judaism will grow and continue beyond our generation and to the next generation. And there are, of course, the ultra-Orthodox think that without them there will be no Judaism. And, of course, to the other extreme, there are those who believe that the ritualistic parts of Judaism are completely unnecessary and that Judaism will continue without them. I don't believe that's true. People need tradition, and tradition isn't only what you got on Fiddler on the Roof. It's certain holidays and the meaning of those holidays, what your religion stands for, the moral parts of Judaism, I think, are sometimes downplayed, but are the most important part. And if you can only learn them by going to a synagogue and the services and being bar mitzvahed, then that's the way you're going to have to learn them. I'm not sure, and time only will tell, so far, from what I can see, leaders of the community don't seem to be coming from the Jewish day schools. They turn inwards towards Judaism and the ritualistic parts of it and not the other, and that, we'll see, maybe I'll be wrong. So far I don't see it. They might argue with me. But if you'll look at all the leaders of the community and where they come from, they're not the ultra-Orthodox or the ultra-religious, not even, the other. They accept their Judaism and they go to, they're members of their synagogue, they support the synagogue, and they think I had a fight at Green Oaks Country Club. I was on the membership committee for 1 year, and the fellow, you were supposed to give a nominal amount to charity in order to be able to join. And the fellow put down his dues to the synagogue. And I said, that's not charity, that's dues to the synagogue. He says, the government accepts it as a charity. I said, you go there? Yeah. I said, then it's dues. You pay them, you go. That's not a charity. I threw me off the committee after a year. I wasn't going to let anybody in.
I agree with you.
I said, that's ridiculous.
That's the way I feel, too. Mm-hmm. Been talking around the Federation. When did you first go on a Federation board?
I guess I should have looked up these dates, but
that's okay.
I guess
forget the date then.
I went to, what were the late 60s?
Late 60s, that's good enough.
Late 60s.
Uh-huh.
Well, because I was president of the of these various organizations, I served as president on the board, then I was elected to the board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who brought me on. I just you get nominated mm-hmm. and you get elected, and
mm-hmm.
and I served. I was chairman of the campaign for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Israel. On
was that when Soroka was? When you were chairman?
Yes, Soroka was. Soroka was still the director.
Still
at that
the
time.
Director. Mm-hmm.
Oh yes. And I just kept. I was chairman of the planning and budgeting committee. You know, if you mm-hmm. if you stay there and you're willing to work and mm-hmm. and you have reasonable intelligence, you'll move along. And I think I got along well with people and had their respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able, thank goodness, because business was good in those days, to make reasonable contributions, and all that helps, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I always felt that shouldn't be too much of a criteria, but it really has to be, because if you're a $1,000 giver, it's difficult to go to a $100,000 giver